We're looking at Ephesians chapter 5 this evening. This morning we looked at the concept of headship and submission in the home. And wouldn't you know it, we had all kinds of visitors. Don't you love that? It just seems like, you know, when a pastor has to preach on a sensitive topic, he does it maybe once a year, and that's when you have a whole lot of visitors. But there's nothing you can do about that, right? We need it. We really need to be reminded of these truths. And so we went over a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, which pointed toward loyalty in the relationship. And then we went to Ephesians chapter 5, and we looked at verses 22 to 24, and we started to understand what the authority concept of that looks like within marriage. Now, what we're going to do this evening is we're going to continue that train of thought, but this time we are talking about primarily the husband's responsibility in the relationship, as he is supposed to love his wife and to sacrifice for her. So this morning it was about headship and submission. Tonight it is about loving and sacrifice. Aren't you glad you were in the nursery? Yeah. So Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 33, and I'll preach to myself tonight. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. This is quite a passage, and it's quite a challenge for me to read. One of my prayer requests every time I pray for my wife is, Lord, help me to see ways in which I can sacrifice more for her. And then I see all of those ways, neglect them, and pray in the evening, Lord, forgive me. You have shown me all these ways in which I can sacrifice for my wife, and I have failed you today and failed her. We have to make sure that we do what the Word of God says that we should do. Husbands, love your wives. The word love is the Greek word agape, and it is a word that means to love your wife sacrificially. Just as Christ also loved the church, that's how a husband should love his own wife. Verse 28, it says, husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. Yes. That's not a challenge, is it, men? You do love yourself. You say, really? Yes, you do. You pamper yourself. You make sure that you get rest. You make sure that your needs are met. You're supposed to do that for your wife and sacrifice your own needs so that her needs should be met. You know, I think that this is a hard, very difficult concept for men to grasp. They can be really insensitive. They don't seem to see that their wives have all of these needs, that they're very busy, that they have these children that they're caring for if there's children involved, that there is much to be done in the house in order to make the house a home. And so husbands take all of that for granted, and they forget that they have a responsibility to provide a nourishing place and a place in which the wife feels like she's being cherished, that she is being loved and secured, and the idea of providing an atmosphere that she feels totally safe in. That's the idea of the wording here. The companion passage for Ephesians chapter 5 is Colossians chapter 3. And in Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 19, it says, "Husbands, love your wives." Same word. Love them sacrificially. "And do not be bitter toward them." That adds a concept to the Ephesians passage that is not there. You are not to be bitter toward your wife. So even though a wife should love her husband, there is something about a Christian husband that he is especially characterized by this word love. As a matter of fact, when it speaks of the wife loving her husband, it's not the same word in the scripture. It is the idea of a tender affection toward him. And then it talks about respect at the end of this passage. But for men, not that a wife shouldn't sacrifice for her husband, that's not what I'm saying, but the emphasis there, because we should all be sacrificing for one another, "greater love has no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends," and certainly for one another, for our family, and for church, for nation even. So we have to make sure that we are characterized, men, by this word love. And we read in 1 Corinthians 13 what love is all about. Let me just restate what it says there. In 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4, and I'll put us in here, men, it says, "The husband's sacrificial love suffers long and is kind. His love does not envy. His love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely." You know, our relationship with our wives is something that is delicate, and we can be rude and insensitive, and sometimes we can be even crude in the way that we treat our wives. It does not behave rudely, does not seek its own. Husband is to constantly give. He's not expecting anything in return. He's not seeking his own needs out. He's looking after the welfare of his wife. It's not provoked. He doesn't get provoked in such a way where he just goes on the attack and on the offensive when he comes home. He doesn't dump all of his frustrations upon his wife when he comes in the door. He doesn't treat her as someone that he can vent upon. Thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. In short, the husband's sacrificial love never fails his wife. That's what the scripture teaches. How are you living up to that, men? You say, that's quite a high bar. It is. As a matter of fact, don't compare yourself with me. I won't compare yourself with you. Let's compare ourselves with Christ. And we will see that we have all fallen short of the glory of God in this area. What's God's perspective on love? Well, the Gospel of John, chapter 3, and verse 16, you know that verse, right? "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." What does that tell us about the love of God? Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44 says, "But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." Some man will be thinking to himself, "You just don't know my wife." Well, even if she curses you, hates you, and spitefully uses you and persecutes you, you're to love her sacrificially anyway, according to Jesus. So I would say that the first perspective from God on love is that it is unconditional. There isn't anything that my wife has to do for me to love her. I just love her. That's what I do. You say, why? God has commanded that I do it. Unconditionally. It's not 50-50. It's 100% me. I love her. Unconditionally. Secondly, love is sacrificial. In John 15 and verse 13, it says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Romans 5 and verse 8, but God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Love is sacrificial. Love acts. Love is constantly, we would say it from time to time, and that's important, but our actions speak a lot louder than our words. Love does something about it. It is sacrificial. And love is loyal. It says in Matthew 6 and verse 24 that no one can serve two masters. Jesus speaking here, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. A husband's love toward his wife is something that is loyal, that is faithful. 1 John 2 and verse 15, do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. A husband that is enamored with the world cannot be loving his wife properly because he's not loving his Savior. The love of the Father is not in him, the scripture says, because he loves the world. His mind is totally preoccupied with worldly things, whether it is athletics or recreation or a computer or a hobby. He is absorbed with those things. And the love of the Father is not in him because he's not absorbed with his God. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11 says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Wow. We so covet our lives and our own selfish time that it is very hard for us to even understand the biblical concept of love. So husbands need to love their wives unconditionally, sacrificially, and loyally. God commands us to love our wives. Do you realize that? That's what the text is saying here. It's a command. It's in the imperative. So not only is it something that you must do as an act of your will, and then your emotions will come along. Not only is it something that you do volitionally, but it's communicated in the present tense. So God wants us to continually to love our wives. And not only that, it's in the active voice. That means that you're actively loving your wife. You set out to do it, and then feelings come along after. J. Grant Howard Jr. said, we have a picture of the perfect partner, but we marry an imperfect person. Then we have two options. Tear up the picture and accept the person, or tear up the person and accept the picture. And those are the only two options. And so many men want an airbrushed wife. Now, I'm not just talking about the physical aspects, but they want everything in order. And everything that they want in order is governed by selfishness instead of selflessness. They're not looking to help prepare their wives to meet the Savior, so that she is spotless and without blame before him. They are looking for someone that can be their slave, accomplish what they want to accomplish. God will never bless a man like that. God commands you to love your wife. Secondly, we need to love her, it says in the text, as Christ loved the church. That means we need to give ourselves sacrificially to our wives. Give up what you want for what she wants. That's what sacrifice is all about. And Christ made the ultimate sacrifice for you, so you really don't need any further motivation than that. You need to meditate on your position and what Christ has given you, and you will gladly sacrifice for your wife. Thirdly, you need to love your wife, and as the Colossians passage said, Colossians 3 and verse 19, don't be embittered against them. You say, well, what is that talking about? Bitter means you're resentful. When you are embittered against your wife, it's talking about literally something where you have a sour stomach. Your feelings are harsh toward her. You're bitter because of your voice. You're not tender in your voice. You're cutting. Sometimes you don't speak to her at all. That's bitterness. You need to be gentle with your actions, with your voice. You need to look for an opportunity to build up your wife and to encourage her. Encourage somebody means to literally pour courage within them, not to sap them of the strength that they have. Put courage within her. Fourth, we need to love our wives purposefully. In other words, we need to nourish them and to cherish them. That's what the text says. What does that mean? Well, to nourish means to provide what is necessary for your wife to grow spiritually. To cherish your wife means to treasure her. It means to treat her tenderly. Both of those things need to be true in our lives. Fifth, love your wife. It says we should love in such a way that it is fervent, that it never grows cold. It is something that we're constantly working on. You don't arrive in your relationship. There is always something more. We dwell with our wives according to knowledge and understanding. We're looking for ways in order to love them better. Actions, emotions, care, affection, all of these things. It's a love that never fails. It's a love that guards against unforgiveness or anger or apathy or even bitterness. Jesus said in Luke chapter 10 and verse 27, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Peter put it this way, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8, "And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins." Now, I think that there are many practical ways that we can kind of hammer this out. For instance, one of the things that I think about as I meditate on this text is that there are things that I do that disappoint my wife, that frustrate her, or that anger her. I need to get those things out of my life. But in order for me to get those things out, I need to identify them. And to identify them, I have to be asking God to give me some discernment to see it, so that I'm not so callous and insensitive. And it means having a conversation with my wife so that she feels very open about telling me where I have lost my way so that I can find it again. I need to repeat the first works principle. Revelation chapter 2, the church at Ephesus, remember that? What was their problem? Well, they had left their first love. And Jesus said, "Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." And you say, that's the application is to the church. Yes, it is. But here's the application to us as men. There was a time when we knew that we loved our wives, we looked for opportunities to please them, we look for opportunities to nourish them, to cherish them, to sacrifice for them. They meant all the world to us. And then somehow we've gone through the years and we began to take our wives for granted. We need to stop and repent and go back to what we were doing before. We need to love our wives sacrificially. I think number three, we need to demonstrate our love so that our wives actually feel loved. In other words, they need to... Wife has radar, and she knows when you're just doing something, because it's your obligation to do it. She needs to know that you really want to do this for her. And at first, she won't even believe it. But you keep at it. And you keep loving her the way that God wants you to love her. Demonstrate that you actually feel love toward your wife. You say, I don't have it anymore. It's grown cold. Ask God to reignite it. And don't tell her that. Ask God to work in your heart so that you grow warm in your affections toward your wife again. And I believe that if you'll start sacrificing for your wife again, then the feelings will attend your obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. Number four, know Christ as your Savior. How in the world can you love your wife properly if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? It says in Ephesians 5 and verse 25, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Do you realize, men, that Christ gave himself for you? If you don't understand that you need a Savior, you're not going to be a worthwhile husband. In other words, you're fully depending upon not your own works, not your own righteousness. You're not depending on going to church or getting your family here, but you're depending upon Christ alone for your eternal life. Know Christ as your Savior. Just as Christ, it says, loved the church and gave himself for her. For what purpose? That he might sanctify and cleanse the church with the washing of the water by the word. That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives. And then it says at the end of verse 29, it is just as the Lord does the church. So the Bible's clear here. We need to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. What does Christ desire of the church? He desires a pure church, a holy church, without spot or wrinkle. What do godly men desire? They desire that their wives move along in the process of sanctification, that they become more holy, that they are set apart for God, and that they are presented to God without spot and without wrinkle. Christ desires, it says in the text, a glorious church. So godly men desire glorious wives. You say, what does that mean? It means that these are women that reflect the righteousness of Christ for the glory of God. That's what a godly man desires in his wife. You love your wife by nourishing her, feeding her with words of life. In other words, you're supplying what is needful for her to live an eternal quality of life. So if you are dragging her through the sewer of the world at home with your TV, how is that presenting to her an eternal quality of life? If everything that you talk about at home only relates to this temporal world and you never communicate with her about your relationship with Christ, she's going to begin to wonder if you even have one. And so we have a responsibility to nourish and to cherish our wives. It says in the text that we should cherish them in the sense of tenderly caring for them and feeding and all of the support that they need in order to make that next leap in their Christian lives and in the Christian walks. God created women to respond to strong, godly leadership from the husband. And you say, well, my wife is not responding. Well, then I would say you need to spend more time with your Savior. Maybe your wife is not responding because you're not responding to God. Maybe you're holding on to something that you don't want to let go of, and God is working through your marriage so that he can get your attention. Help her to know and to fear God. Help her to respond correctly to problems. Do you know what Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1 says? It says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in a fault, or a trespass, then you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness or meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Are you helping your wife respond correctly to the problems and the confrontations that she faces in life? Help her by praying for her every day. Pray for her several times a day. Not only the planned times of prayer that you have throughout the day, but as the Lord brings her to mind, and He will often, pray for her. Pray that the Lord would work in her heart. Pray that both of you together would have a God-edifying marriage. Pray that she would be righteous and growing in righteousness. Pray that she would be available to the Holy Spirit to work in and through her. Pray that you both would be committed to your relationship to God so that you can be committed rightly to one another. Pray for all of that. And pray for God to change you before you pray for God to change her. Proverbs 15 and verse 17, it says, "Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred." You have to love your wife and not hate her. Say, well, yeah, of course, we shouldn't hate our wives. Well, prosperity. Prosperity can be a problem. It can lead a man to grow to be cold and distant in his attitude toward his wife. Many waters cannot quench love. Neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give his entire house for love, it would be utterly despised or contemned. You say, what does that verse mean? This is Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 7. And the idea is this, that there isn't anything that you can give her materially, right, that will count as much as giving yourself to your Savior and deepening your own devotion to God so that you are a man of integrity. So that when she looks at you, she is not seeing somebody who is duplicitous, hypocritical, somebody who cares more about money than he cares about me. He cares more about position, and he's using me in order to step up to that position. He's got this idea that has been put out there throughout the whole church that things are fine at home, and they're not fine at home. He's a hypocrite. See, that is the point of that passage. Ways in which that hatred can manifest itself in a marriage. The husband says, she just doesn't live up to my expectations. This man has unrealistic expectations, especially in seasons of life, and especially when it comes to intimacy. The man is very demanding. He doesn't take in consideration that his wife is very tired. He doesn't have any care for any of that. All he cares about is his own needs and that they be met. He is a very selfish man. She doesn't love me with the same intensity that she once did. And so he throws a little pity party. And even brings others into it. Talks to men about his wife and how she doesn't love him the way that he needs to be loved. She just doesn't understand who she has. Now, he would never say that, but that's the attitude that is seeping out of him. Your career becomes so all-consuming that you have no time for your wife. That's a danger. It's a big danger. You fail to lead in a loving way, and so your wife becomes a doormat. You take advantage of her. You take her for granted. That's hatred. All of this is hatred. You don't love your wife, you hate her, you despise her. Harsh, bitter, sharp language. Things that you say to her that you would never say to any other human being. But you say it to your precious wife. There are things that we do and say that can make our wives feel so unloved and so insecure that it just seems like it'll take years to get back to where you need to be. Isn't that amazing? You can crush the life out of your wife. You say, what happens when I get into that deep trench? Well, it's not only unpleasant for her, it's unpleasant for you. And it's unpleasant for everyone to behold, for your children, for your church, for society, because if a family fails, then society fails. You need to love your wife. You need to choose to love your wife. That's your responsibility. God will hold you accountable if you don't love your wife sacrificially. When your wife knows that you love her, what will happen as a result? She will feel safe. She will feel well cared for. She will feel the comfort that God intends her to know and to feel and to have. She knows that you are going to protect her. You say, is it difficult to love your wife at times? No. It's not difficult at all. Right? It is difficult. It's difficult for us to love one another. There may be times that she comes to me and she wants to resolve a family problem, but the timing is way off. It's hard to love at that point. There may be times when she's allowing her emotions to rule her problem-solving patterns, and so it has caused all kinds of problems. There may be times when she struggles with a particular sin, and she struggles with it over and over and over again. But look at yourself, buddy. Isn't it the same thing with you? You're loving somebody who isn't there yet. God is still working on them, and He wants you to lead in this process if you're married to her. She may struggle. She may not wear her hair the way you want her to wear it. She may not cook your favorite meal on that particular day. But you must love your wife, and she should never think otherwise. I know that my husband loves me. I hope my wife feels that way. I think she does. You can ask her later when I'm not around. But I want my wife to know that I love her. You should want your wife to know that you love her. How can we help our wives to feel love? Well, here's some practical things that you can do. Put on those yellow Playtex gloves and put your hair up, men, and get in there and do the housework with her. Do the housework. Do the dishes. Make the bed in the morning. Clean up after yourself. Don't throw your clothes off into a corner and expect her to pick up after you. You know, she doesn't need six boys. I'm talking about my wife. She already has five. I should be in there helping her, not making life more difficult. Get in there and help her. Repair things that are broken. Paint the house. Do what God wants you to do. Cut the lawn. Do the shrubs. Get in there and help your wife. Spend quality time with her. Go away for the weekend with your wife. Go out on date nights. Spend time with your wife. Listen to her intently when she's speaking to you. You're watching football. She wants to talk to you. Turn off football. Turn, look at your wife, and listen. There's nothing so important on TV that you can't turn it off and listen to your wife. Right? Isn't that true? That you have to intently listen to her when she speaks. Provide for her needs physically. Provide for her needs spiritually. It's not enough to provide just for half that thing. You say, well, I just bring home the bacon, and that's my job. She does all of the sensitive religious stuff. No, you're the leader. You're the one that leads spiritually, and you meet the physical, spiritual, and emotional needs of your wife. Write her notes of encouragement. You don't even have to write anymore. You can text her. Text her a heart in the middle of the day just for fun. Okay? Do and don't put LOL after, right? Right? Tell her that you love her. Tell her that you're thinking about her. Just a small thing, but it means a great deal. Write or text. We don't write notes anymore, but text. Write an email. Can you guys know what a pen is? Pen is hard, but you can put it in your fingers, and they have this stuff called card. and you can write on this card. It usually has a pretty picture on it. And then you can send that to your wife. Isn't that amazing? And they love to get cards with sentiments in them. Like, I love you. And things like, I've been thinking about you, and I can't wait until we can go away again. Or poems. You write your wife poems? Are you out of your mind? Yeah, no. Nobody else will read them. She'll read them, and she will appreciate it, all right? Plan weekends just for the two of you. Take her out. Go for a quiet walk together. buy flowers. Buy a small gift. It doesn't have to be. If I bought my wife flowers, she would be enraged. But for some wives, flowers are a good thing. My wife, not so much. She would rather have something else. All right. Starts with a C, ends with an E. Chocolate. All right. And she, you have to know your wife. You have to know what she likes. Maybe there's something that you can do together that is a sport or a recreation. When's the last time you had a deep and meaningful spiritual conversation with her? Not about controversial things, but sharing your devotional thoughts from God's Word. What you're learning in your relationship with God. When's the last time you talked to your wife about that? Not how you're trying to set straight the theological world. Okay, that's what I'm tempted to do. But talking to your wife about things that God is doing and that God is changing in your own heart. You say, well, I'd share that with her. She might bring it up sometime in the future as leverage. Well, that's a good thing. Maybe it'll keep you accountable. Work on projects together. Plan a family night. Tell her that you love her. Hold her hand in public. Surprise her with something special. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done wisely, or well rather, but you excel them all. You excel them all. What is that? That's praising your wife. Isn't that praising? The children rising up, calling her blessed. The husband saying, many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. In my eyes, my wife excels every other woman on earth. Really, truly. That's the way it should be. Genuine praise. If it's genuine, it will have a dramatic effect. If it's something that is fake, radar, wife radar, she will sense it, and it will fall to the ground. What three characteristics can you praise your wife for? Have you ever thought about that? What are three things that you could genuinely praise your wife for? You ought to think about that and look for opportunities to praise your wife. Sacrifice for her. How do you demonstrate the depth of love for your wife in the sacrifices that you make? Her needs come before yours? I remember coming back from a couples retreat. I still remember this. My wife and I were reading a book called His Needs, Her Needs. Now, I don't recommend everything in this book, and I'm sure there were all kinds of psychological garbage in it. But there were a lot of good stories that we were reading to one another, and I still remember them to this day. It was helpful. It helped me to realize that her needs come before my needs. That's a good thing, isn't it? I give up what I want in order to do what she wants. And she would never even know about it. That's the idea of sacrifice. She would think that that's what you want to do. Because it is, because you want to please her. You're all about giving, not receiving. 100%. You put your wife before every other person on this earth. And before all other activities as well. And for those of you that like sports analogies, you play hurt. You say, what does that mean? It means that you're going to go out even if you're tired or have a little headache. I mean, you'd go out to the softball game if you were tired and had a little headache. And you won't go out because you're tired and you have a little headache with your wife on a date? There's something really wrong with that. We've got our priorities all wrong. What sacrifice do you need to make right now for your wife? What is the Lord bringing to your mind? That's the sacrifice that needs to be made. God commands it, and Christ demonstrates it. You must do it. That's what Ephesians 5 is telling us. And so you need to love your wife continually. Do you know, if you do something one time, you can do it again? And if you do it twice, you can do it three times? And you can do it again and again and again. And do you know what will happen? It will become a habit. God commands you to love your wife. And you must be able to love your wife because God has empowered you to do so. In fact, the Bible says that you are able to love her continually and you're able to love her at all times. In short, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the opportunity to preach tonight. Thank you for this text in Ephesians. And Lord, I even think about my own relationship and all of the different things that I need to do to improve things. And I pray that the men would come away from tonight with that same heavy heart. There isn't a single man in this room that can't do better. And I pray, Lord, that you would teach us this. That our wives would know that they are tenderly cared for, that there isn't anything in this world that we wouldn't do for them, and that we seek to glorify you by loving them in a way that is sacrificial. Help us to do this, Lord. Help us not to soon forget the things that we've determined in our minds to do according to your word. Help us to show love toward our wives. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.